What up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Man, do me a favor, leave a like and a comment below. Please subscribe so you can get these early drops, these exclusive drops, as I keep bringing these dope guests to the show today. I got a homie for you. My dog, man. Let me give you a little bit about this background of this gentleman. He was an all BVA guard and team MVP at Deer Valley High School. He also won the Coach's Award as a top defender while averaging 18.7 assists and 5 steals per game. After leaving Deer Valley, he transferred to USF, had a crazy career, but also had some trials and tribulations, which is, we'll get into when we get to the show. Currently, though, my man is the national sales executive for Brinks as well, and this gentleman is already a part of developing, putting out an app on Google, Apple, Attic, man. We're going to get into Attic at the end of the show, but Jay Gaines, how you doing, man? What's up?
Good, man. How you doing today, Jay?
I'm man, good. Appreciate you, Jay, for being here. As we know, in our turn, 94 feet, man, we're going to jump right into it, man. Let's take it back to day one, Jay. Man, just give me a little bit about the background, the upbringing of Jay Gaines, and where you from, man? Where you born and raised at?
So I grew up in, I was born in Oakland, grew up in Emeryville area. Then I moved out to Antioch, went to high school in Antioch, Deer Valley. We played ball all my life, basically. You know, I kind of grew up in an athletic family. So my older brother played baseball. He was a pitcher at Washington State. My dad played basketball. Moms played basketball. My uncle was a receiver at University of Washington on a team with Warren Moon. So I think just for me and where I grew up, man, that's all we did was play sports as a young kid, man. I think that's all we knew.
Yeah,
playing sports every single day.
That's super dope. So, I mean, you had a lot of options for sports growing up. Was it always hoop, or did you dibble and dabble in other things, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, we were young. We had to get into everything, but did you already found your love earlier, or what else did you play growing up?
No, so I've always played multiple sports. I actually grew up loving baseball, so baseball was my first love. So when I in the summer times, we would go to Emory High in the summer times, right around the corner from my house, and we would have these different like rec leagues or whatnot. They would have adult leagues and just a lot of different leagues going on at the time or whatnot. And so at like 4 years old, I kind of got into baseball just watching like the adult men's softball league and just kind of being around in that atmosphere and just being on the field. And, you know, as a little brother, you always kind of looked up to your older brother as well, or older sibling, you know, for that respect. And my brother, like I said, he played everything, but he was amazing in baseball. So I just kind of looked up to him and kind of gravitated towards baseball. And so that was actually my first love. And then slowly got introduced to basketball, started playing basketball a little bit more. Basketball was a lot more of a faster pace, right? I was a shortstop in baseball, so I got action, but it was still kind of slow in comparison to baseball. I dabbled into football a little bit when I was a young kid. So I tried out with the West Oakland Saints when I was a little kid, Pop Warner League. I actually had made the team. They actually had me as like a lineman. So I was like, man, I'm not playing a lineman. So, you know, kind of got out of football and whatnot. And then just, like I said, stayed in the baseball until I was about 13. And then just found a love for basketball and just kind of took that head on for the rest of my, you know, sports career and whatnot.
That's dope. So, and then spoke about your parents being such diverse athletes growing up. Again, as we know, I mean, being a father yourself, but as a youngster your age, how much time would you say you put into your craft, man, as far as working on your game or trying to get better or emulating somebody? How much time, let's say a day or a week, did you put in back then to try to get better?
I mean, again, so for me, I think it was a little unique because, again, I had an older sibling who played all three sports, right? So my brother went to Emory High, and he played baseball, basketball, and football, right? And so I was a water boy for football. I was the team manager for baseball, and I was the team manager for basketball. So for me, I was in there. And then when you take away what he did from high school, I played Babe Ruth baseball, right? And so the Oakland community within itself, like, we were just always around sports. So to answer your question, I mean, every single day in some respects, I was playing baseball and or basketball or football, right? And, I mean, when I was with my friends, we were always playing sports. And so I think – you know, like every single day we were working out, playing, trying to get better, and just being around, just loving the game and just being around the game.
Shout out to Big Bro while you brought him up. How intense was them competitions in the house? You know what I mean? How was it? How'd it get?
we're 6 years apart. extremely competitive. Just, you know, I think for me, again, just having an older sibling, you know, you always wanted to kind of aspire to that. So for us with sports, I looked at what he had done through sports, kind of the accomplishments that he had for himself, and that just kind of drove me to want more and to want to do more. So anyway, you know, when I was a kid, I was dribbling up and down the street to the barbershop. You know, kid, everyone knew me to have a basketball in my hand. Or if, like, at Emory High, they had a tennis court with no net, right? So we turned that into a baseball field, right? You know, pole to pole would be third base and first base. The middle would be second base. But I guess my point is, like, we made a way to play sports. No matter the resources that we had, we were trying to figure it out. And I think that love and that passion for the game, regardless if it was baseball, basketball, or a small stand of football, it was, you know, it was, we just wanted to be around it. So my mom would drop us off at Greenman Field when I was playing baseball at Royal Park, and we would be there all day. I'll either be playing or I'll be watching my brother play baseball. So for me, sports was, it was not an option. It was what we did.
To talk about options, given that your mom and dad play a couple of different things, did they lean or push you into one or the other and let you kind of choose which one you wanted to get into?
No, so, you know, I kind of just, again, looked at my brother, you know, like, watch what he did. That's what I wanted to aspire to be. And my mom, like I said, she played basketball. I actually couldn't beat my mom in basketball probably until I was like 8 years old. Like, moms used to whoop me. We had a basketball court in the driveway. And so, you know, she used to go out there and play with me all the time. But no, they didn't push me one way or the other. It was kind of just like, you know, find your own path, you know, figure out what you love, what you enjoy, and just take heed at it, you know, go full throttle. So, no, they didn't push me one way or the other.
So we get into, let's see, what middle school did you go to out there?
So I actually went to Emory for like Emory Middle School for like 2 weeks. And my mom took me out of Emory Middle School and put me into a middle school in Pleasanton, which was a very, it was a different change, right? So in Pleasanton, it's just a different demographics, different area. Wasn't a lot of, you know, African-American kids, black kids at the school. It's probably like one of five. But I think what really broke down the barrier and which allowed me to kind of really adapt was basketball, you know, like that common language. It wasn't about, you know, race or ethnicity, black or white. It was just about, yo, you love basketball, I love basketball. Like, how can we play? And so I went to middle school in Pleasanton, and then I went to high school in Antioch. So my mom, we would drive from Emeryville to Pleasanton every single day. I get dropped off at, you know, a friend's house in the morning, go to sleep for a few hours, go to school, you know, go back to the house, to a friend's house. She picked me up. We come back home and we do it all over again. And so I think just to see, right, that commitment from moms to put me into something that she thought would be a betterment for my future, whether that was just sports or education wise or whatever, you know, that kind of drove me, right? That inspired me just to see her sacrifices to make sure that I had more and wanted more for myself. So, I went to middle school in Pleasanton and then high school in Antioch.
That's what's up. Middle school time, you talked about that changing environment. Did you face any challenges kind of like being that, I mean, yeah, we know today is we're going through a lot of stuff in the world and social injustice, but back then that would probably stood out for you that you can remember or that you recall that kind of made it tough at times for you being there?
You know, there weren't a lot of things that I think directly for me that I truly experienced, or if so, maybe it didn't register to me as much and I can't really, you know, recall it. But, you know, I think I met some amazing families, I'll tell you that much. You know, it was a family, the Morleys, who took me in, the Espiritus, the Sheridans. The Heisman was a family that my mom worked with, and that pretty much is like a second family to me. You know, I go there in the mornings, leave in the afternoon. So I think I really had a good, I would call it a bubble, in respects to like families that took me in and made sure that I was good, you know, regardless of my background or where I was coming from, you know, because whenever you're commuting, you know, out of town, in town, that's always a challenge within itself, just not really being from the neighborhood or knowing people from that area. And then you add the extra layer of, you know, being African-American, black here from inner city coming out to Pleasanton, that can have its own challenges and things. But I think I have some real good families. I come from a very strong family, a mom that really taught me a lot about, you know, diversity, inclusion, like just different things like that, right? Being open-minded about stuff. So, no, but I did see, you know, there was a high school out there, amateur high school that had, forgot the kid's name. I had a black kid that was real good guard. And I've seen some of the things that he kind of experienced when I was like in seventh and eighth grade. People maybe, you know, spray painting stuff on his locker or making comments or things of that nature. So I do recall that and maybe preparation for things that potentially I could have experienced had I gone to high school out there as well. But indirectly in seventh and eighth, no, not really.
So you get to Deer Valley coming in out of middle school, ball in your hands. I mean, what is it? Is it freshman JV before you straight to varsity level? How's it go down?
So it's unique. So I was actually supposed to go to De La Salle. So I was supposed to go to De La Salle out of middle school, but we were moving from the Bay Area out to Antioch, and I didn't really know a lot of people in Antioch, and I had just, you know, I was just commuting from the Bay Area to Pleasanton to go to middle school. I did not want to live in Antioch and then be commuting out of Antioch into Concord, and so you know, I had to talk with moms and. You know, went to Deer Valley. And so Deer Valley was actually a brand new high school at the time. So my freshman class was the first 4-year class. And when I started, we only had freshmen and sophomores at the time. So no juniors, no seniors. So only had freshmen and JV. So I played JV my first year. Then I played varsity, sophomore, junior, and senior season, which was a roller coaster within itself being a new school. But it was, you know, it's cool.
So, I mean, I can imagine just those challenges like that. But again, we talk about challenges. Well, before we get to challenge, what about some successes? I mean, a couple of good numbers I read off the start there. What are some of the good experience highlights you had being there and on the floor and just at that school?
Man, I you know what? I've always been a point guard. So what I mean by that is, like, I've always been the point guard that's going to defend. I've always been the point guard that's going to set up my teammates. And I think that comes from, you know, when I was younger, I was always playing with older people. I was not really playing with the people my age, right? So you got to get them shots before you get your shot. Thanks. You got to play defense. You got to kind of find a way to make things happen. And so that just always stuck with me. My favorite player was Gary Payton, you know, just his toughness, setting up players, playing defense, being very confident on that side of the court. So I had a lot of highlights, man. I think just, you know, when I was a freshman playing JV, I think I held my own, did very well. You know, I could score, I could defend, I can get people set up. It's a brand new high school. And so we kind of went through just, I think, went through some experience in that respect, being a brand new high school. But we made it to the playoffs. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to go to USF. But before even getting my scholarship, I was on my way to junior college in Porterville. And then from Porterville, ended up going to USF. So I think the biggest thing was just the relationships that I built through sports, as cliche as that may sound, the opportunity to go and play in the college, and the opportunity to just do something I love, man, like being out there playing basketball every day, winning or losing.
So let's just go senior year real quick there. You get ready to finish up. Yep. You know, now, as we know now, man, it's crazy. Even from, I don't know, probably middle school on, these kids get recruited, letters, interest, everything like that. You finish your senior year at your new school. Now, did you believe or feel like basketball was the next step level for you, or was it like, let me see what happens? How did that part play out?
I've always felt like basketball was a part of me and what I was going to do long term. I've always felt like that. I've always felt like I could play at a high level. I think when I was playing, I showed that in a lot of respects, whether it was in different tournaments, different classics, whether it was all BVAL, whatever it was, I think when I played, you know, I held my own. And so my senior year, you know, it was a great year, man. We went to the playoffs. We lost to St. Joseph's with Notre Dame on Alameda, which had a real good team. I was actually trying to transfer to St. Joseph's my senior year, but for whatever reason, it didn't pan out. So we ended up losing to them. But after that, you know, I was on my way to Porterville, which was the number one junior college in the state at the time. They had my boy Dave Bell, who was the two guard, who I grew up with playing with. And I had a bunch of cats from D.C. and they had an amazing loaded team. Had just come off winning state. And so I was actually excited to go to Porterville and go play down there. And through some connections, through some discussions, my brother knew the baseball coach over at USF, got me connected with Coach Matthews at the time. I actually had went on like a tryout. So they had some open gyms going on with the players. I went down, played, obviously I held my own, ended up getting a late scholarship in August. And every year from there, it's just been working to retain, to keep that scholarship basically. So, yeah, man, senior year was great. Led me to get to college, led me to get to play at Division One. You know, that was a great experience within itself. Met some amazing friends. Just, you know, great experience all through ball.
That offer comes to you on your table. How does that make you feel? But how does it make your parents and your brother feel to you? Because I know your mom personally. I know how the family is, man. But how that make you feel, and then how to make your brother and your mom feel as well?
Man, truth be told, like when it came about, honestly, Jay, like I think I was debating it, and that's not like I had a whole bunch of offers. And the reason I was debating is because, so I wasn't highly recruited my senior year, right? But towards the latter part of my senior year, one of our JV coach was from the East Coast, and someone he knew was coaching at Cal at the time. Forgot the exact relationship, but he was an assistant coach with Cal at the time. And so I ended up going to go play open gyms at Cal a lot during my senior year, like after season was done, with the team and with the players. And I was holding my own there as well. And so I had an opportunity to walk on my freshman year with getting a scholarship to, you know, from there on. But for whatever reason, that, you know, that really wasn't something I think that I wanted to do. Maybe it was pride, right? I don't know. Arrogance, cocky. I don't know. I didn't want to walk on at the time. And so I went to Porterville. And then even at Porterville, with the opportunities that I had, I wasn't even really ready to commit to USF, although that was my only D1 offer that was like, hey, we're ready to take you right now, because I felt that, you know, there could have been more opportunities out there for me. I just didn't have the exposure or, you know, that I felt would have gotten me some more of the looks that I, you know, may have deserved at that time. So talking to family, friends, like, you know what, it's a great Jesuit school, you're planning a great conference, you know, it's Division One, it's basketball, it's free. Jason, go do it. So we took, you know, obviously took the scholarship. My brother was excited for me. Mom's was excited for me. And I went to USF.
So you get fit on campus, man. What's some of the, I guess, big adjustments or biggest changes you see immediately, like when you get in, when you step on the scene there?
The biggest adjustment for me was I'm not a kid anymore. I'm responsible now. Like, yo, you sink or swim. The biggest adjustment from a basketball perspective was it's business. You got to show up and you got to show out and you got to be ready. I think a lot of times when we talk about scholarships, I think people and automatically think that, you know, it's just a 5-year scholarship, 4-year scholarship, whatever the case may be. I had to renew my scholarship every year. It was 1-year renewable for me. So every single year I had to re-sign that scholarship. I had to rework to retain that scholarship. And so I think for me, those were the biggest kind of adjustments. And then the caliber, you know, the Cal was kind of like, okay, this is where we at. Okay, let's go. You know, I was excited. And so I would say the biggest adjustments, again, like when basketball-wise was business, school-wise, I would say just that I'm not a kid anymore. You know, like, I don't go to class, that's on me. But the outcome is going to be on me as well, right? Right. So it was definitely – and then it was a real dope experience, because you just – and San Francisco is kind of like a melting pot. You know, you get all these different walks of life and all these different backgrounds and ethnicities. And so we had teammates from different countries, teammates from Philly, teammates from here, from L.A., you know, Chicago. It's just all over the place. So that was pretty cool.
That's what's up. That freshman year, how was the game like, environments, playing in front of people for you? How was it? I mean, I'm sure you're playing some crowds, but now it's at another level now, man. How was that?
Yeah, it was – so it was interesting, right? Because, like, again, so I was the only freshman – that had signed that year, and I signed late. So it was kind of like I was also kind of like the only really newcomer person as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like, all right, Jay, you got to, you know, you got to build, you know, you got to show why you're here, right? And then – so we had, you know, practice, whatever. And then we had our exhibition games. The two exhibition games I actually played real well. It was fun. The energy was exciting. And then we had our first game. I'll never forget. We had our first game against Nevada Reno. It was a home game. It was televised. It was like, you know, two freshman point guards that were starting. So at that time, it was my boy who ended up being my teammate, Andre Hazel, and then it was myself. So we were freshman point guards. And then my boy Gary Hill Thomas, he was coming back home because he played at Bishop O'Dowd and was a freshman at Nevada Reno. And so that game was like, for me, whoa, long story short, I did not perform well. That was like, you know, I did not do what I knew I could do. And so for me, it was like, that I think is when I really opened up and was like, opened my eyes up and was like, yo, you gotta really take heed of this, right? Like this, it's different. You know, you can't just turn the lights on. Like you really gotta show up, and showing up is not when you come to the game. Like showing up is like what you said before. How many times was you working out? How many times was you in the gym? Because it's real here. So that Nevada game was kind of my wake up call, because the exhibition game was kind of smooth. That was our first preseason game, and it was like, all right, yep, wake up. And so I did. And then we played our second game at UC Santa Barbara, and I tore my ACL the first 5 minutes.
Ooh.
So I'll never forget it. My mom had drove down to watch the game. Mm. I did a jump stop. I went to the basket, jump stop, and it went out. But I thought I was still good because I've never really had a tough injury. Mm. And so trainer takes me out. We go in the hallway. We kind of do the ACL drill. So I'm running straight. Everything is good. He's like, okay, now try and go lateral. Couldn't go lateral, right? I couldn't make a V cut or whatever. And so he was like, you know what, Jason, we're going to sit you for the rest of the game. We don't know what it is, but that's not good, so let's sit. We were actually on our way from Santa Barbara to Hawaii because we were planning it was the Big Island Classic mm-hmm. out there in Hawaii. So it was us, Long Beach State, Oklahoma, Appalachian State, a couple other big schools. And I get out there. I go see the doctor. Doctor's playing with my leg, doing some drills. Long story short, I hear a pop.
Jeez.
And I think that – no, actually, I apologize. When I went out there, I didn't play. I'm sorry. The doctor seen me, said, no, you know what? We don't know exactly what it is. Don't – you know, you should probably rest and go see your own doctor. So I didn't play in Hawaii. Came back, seen our doctor. And then that's when I had, like, the test. And then it was, like, a pop. And like, yeah, you tore your ACL. I'm like, yeah, I bet I did. So then, my freshman season was done, basically. So – that was my first time really going through a tough injury. So a lot of, mentally I had to kind of get myself together, going through adversity for really the first time to sit out and be away from the game. And so that was a unique experience as well.
So, man, and talk about the so that's I guess, a loss. Not a guess, that's a loss, but also something you have to overcome, the support system at that point. Who do you rely on, given that that's the major, and that's not an ankle, like that's something where you got to be down and out, try to come back. Who do you branch on to at that point to help you get through these times?
Man, honestly, I leaned on moms, family, friends, brother, close friends. It was a tough time because it was my first time being hurt like that. And I tried to play in a Santa Barbara game because, again, I'd never really been hurt. I've had finger injuries, but nothing like an ACL before. And so I just remember going through the surgery, coming back out of the surgery. It was right around, I think I had my surgery in December, because we had went to Hawaii, like right around Thanksgiving time. So I had my surgery in December. So Christmas time, I was kind of out. Obviously the rest of the year I was out, but yeah, it was my family who I leaned on a lot. And then just again, that competitive nature to want to come back, right? Like as an athlete, your just internal drive just pushes you to just want to be better. And granted, yeah, I was nervous, concerned, worried about if I would be able to come back and, push off the leg that I did, do a jump stop, all the things that kind of go into your mind, that led up to that experience. But, yeah, family, friends, my team, trainers, I had a good support system. I was fortunate, man.
Let me ask this, though, but did you ever, or can you admit to ever have a time saying you want to quit or stop?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. We went to – so, all right, so fast forward, I get hurt. I sit out my whole freshman year. That summer, we go to Spain. And that was my first time playing, coming back actually and playing. So we went to Spain for like 2.5 weeks. And it was my first time getting back playing. And we got back from that trip. I was ready to transfer. I was like, I'm done. I'm about to transfer. Just not in the right mindset, not really wanting to – I wasn't – I guess happy with what it looked like at USF at the time. And I was looking at transfer, whether that was going back to DVC, not going back to DVC, but going to DVC, doing a year there, 2 years, whatever I had left, and then figuring it out from there. But yeah, man, I was ready to transfer and quit.
Good, but you stick it out, you push it through. What happens?
I did. I had some, like you said, like support system.
And then, so let's go after, okay. Basketball kind of gets finished with that, right? As we know, we all had hoop. I mean, I don't have my hoop dreams. do this and other, but had to come that face that reality. At what point did you face that reality saying, okay, now I have to transition to something else? When does that happen for you?
All right, cool. Fast forward basketball. And then, so when I got done my senior year,
yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but my senior year of college, I tore my second ACL, my right. Mm. Right. And so I think at that point, so I tore my senior year. So I won my freshman year and then won my senior year. My senior year was post. We had just got done with WCC tournament. I was going to get into the NIT or some level of postseason play with practicing. Went to the basket, did like another jump stop type move toward it. But to answer your question, after that, it was kind of like, man, I love it. My passion, I love it. But, you know, what would this become? And so I went to a couple tryouts, went to a couple like D-League at the time tryouts, made it all the way to the last round for the one out in Austin. Didn't get the opportunity to go to the training camp. And so at that point, it was like, you know what, man, I had a great opportunity. It's done a lot for me. I kind of wanted to get into entrepreneurship and business. I've always wanted to kind of be an entrepreneur. I've always wanted to kind of create. And I think with the things that I've learned through sports, just kind of, you know, intertwining that into business was kind of what I wanted to do next.
That's what's up. So you get into entrepreneurship. What's your very first thing you jump into? What do you choose? What path do you
take? Jake was the first entrepreneur idea that I did, the clothing brand Journey Against the End. A lot of that mindset, a lot of those things that we had, our taglines and quotes, right? The journey continues. All that comes from sports and basketball. All that comes from going through adversity, you know, having two ACLs, not having opportunities to get recruited out of college, and just, you know, not necessarily looking at the end destination, but appreciating the journey. And so just again, like I said, putting that energy, that mindset, those things that we do, the 2-a-days, getting up early, just putting that into business. And so Jake was a clothing company, t-shirts, hoodies, different things that we kind of put together for fashion. And telling the story.
Yeah. And speaking of like Jake, like, so I can remember going back to college for a homecoming. I think my college is purple. Of course, I had the purple and white on. And then some guy's like, hey, what you know about? And I said, wait a minute, what you know about Jay? He was like, no, that's my people. And I'm like, hold on now. So, you know, it was pushing, man. You did a lot of work. You guys did a lot of work. And again, with the support system, with the homies and different people at different levels. Again, I think that message is something that is ever present. And, you know, I still got a lot of my shirts now. So those don't get thrown away. Those are keepers. After Jay, what's next for you then?
So, Jay is all, like, to your point, Jason always be a part of me. I think because it's a part of who I am, in a sense of just like my drive and me as an individual. And it was basically just putting that onto a garment. But my passion has always been sports. My love has always been sports. Everything that I've known and everything that I've done, even trying to formulate Jay through sports, right? And lessons that I learned into a clothing brand. I've always wanted to be in the sport industry. So now, what I'm doing is Addict, which is a mobile app. Adversity drives equality. We talk about going through adversity in life and what that's looked like. And, you know, I've had my fair share through sports and kind of have overcome some things through sports. And, you know, my partner and I wanted to create a platform that provided more exposure, more visibility, kind of created a little bit of less noise than the current marketing platforms. And then also just wanted to push out to the local communities, man. I think a lot of times in sports, especially with technology today, we always just kind of look at the end results and everything is so instantaneous and everything is so right now. And, you know, we can be in Sacramento talking about the person that's all the way in Chicago overlooking what we're doing in Sacramento, right? So you lose sight of that, and sometimes the picture gets too big. And as we know through life, life is about steps, right? You take these steps to get to your destination. And so I guess where I'm going with this way, with Addict, man, we really just want to localize and empower the local communities through sports. And we want to make sure that people have access to sports within their local communities. So it's kind of a central hub. And, you know, if I'm a parent that wants to find out what's going on and get my kid involved in sports, I can go to a central platform and find information. And then on the flip side, if I am an organization, a coach, a trainer, a team, and I want to push out trials, I want to share information, I don't want to kind of get lost in the algorithms are the current platforms today. There's a sports specific platform that can push out my information to the audience that needs to see it. So it's all about empowering, like I said, these local communities through sports, man.
That's what's up. So, and you guys can definitely find Addict on your IGs, ADEQ. Again, Addict, ADEQ. Follow it. The website information, I'll give it to you too right now. I got it right here, www.adeqsports.com. Definitely follow, like, send information, download whatever you need to do to know where everything is going on at. So what's the I'm looking at Attic 2 online right now as well, but let's go future. What would you like to see Attic get to?
Yeah, man, so we want to be the main resource for sports, man. Okay. So when people are thinking about, you know, sports industry information, I want to find out, you know, again, what if I'm in Sacramento and I enjoy baseball or basketball and I want to know what's happening, I can just go to a central place. We want to be able to promote the local community. So, you know, somebody like yourself that is doing podcasts, hopefully we can spread out information for individuals who are within that sport industry. But we want to be that central place, man. We want to be that hub. Like, we kind of consider ourselves the Yelp of sports. And when I think about, minus the reviews right now, but when I think about Yelp, you know, I think about a platform that when I want to know what's going on or what's available to me right within that area, I usually log into Yelp. And for me, I use it for restaurants, but hey, I want to find an Italian restaurant. Here it is, 5 minutes away. Let me go find it. And we just want to put that same concept into sports, man. We think it's a, you know, kids are quitting sports at a rapid rate these days at a young age. And we just want to try and get back to, like, again, cliche as this may sound, but like to the grassroots of it. So like when I was a kid and we was just at the parks playing all day, man, and it was just, it was a love for the game. It wasn't so much business at such a young age. So we want to get back to just getting people access, information, opportunities to all levels of sports. It's not just the highest of the height, you know, regardless of if I'm playing for, I'll use, I guess, the youth space. If I'm playing for a top tier AAU team, or if I'm playing for my local, you know, city league team. Now, the goals of what I'm being taught in respect to what sports should do, right? Teamwork, success, failure, adversity, that should all be the same message across the board. That shouldn't be missed regardless of the skill set of that player. And so that's what Attic is about, man. It's just building that bridge, basically.
That's what's up. So you talk about entrepreneurship. And this is your second venture into it, though. Just give me a couple, though, just physical or mental challenges you've had to overcome to get, because, I mean, I've seen you do the behind-the-scenes work, but that you can share with the people about, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. Your app doesn't get posted overnight, you know what I mean? How hard or difficult was that?
It's a journey, man, but it's, you know, again, sports, you know? You talk about 94 feet a game, right? You talk about being locked in for 94 feet, right? So for me, I played defense. I picked up full court. I had to be locked in for 94 feet. It's the same mindset that you take into business. You got to be locked in, right? You got to be focused. And for me, I think those were some of the biggest challenges. Like really just saying, okay, everything that's allowed me to be successful in basketball, although it's a totally separate industry, although it's business, it's not on the court, like just use those same things that you did, right? Getting up early, staying late in the gym, all right? Get up early, stay up a little bit later to read a different book, right? You know, want to get some extra shots in, all right, man? Let me take a couple extra hours to maybe check out different more sites and see what's going on. So it's transferable skill sets is what I like to say. And so, yeah, it's definitely been a journey. But I think using what I've learned through sports has allowed me to kind of get over some of those difficult days. It's not a walk in the park. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of late nights. You know what you're doing with your podcast, yeah, right? And I think that's why that 94 feet, I think it suits you well, because I know you and what your grind is. And I think ours are similar. When it gets tough, sometimes I try and take a pause. Sometimes I try and balance, you know, I'm a family man, right? So I have a wife and two kids, and trying to balance from family to corporate work to my personal life space to entrepreneurship. There's a lot of different things that you have to juggle. So you got to be extremely intentional about your time, and you got to be very focused about how you deliver your time. And so I've been very active in reading now a lot more. So I read a lot of books. I try and work out a little bit more, try and be more mindful of that, try to get into meditating. But I try and, I guess, calm myself, because the world, life in itself is just so fast. So something has to be at balance. I think when I was younger, I was always just moving so fast because that's all I knew was to go fast. And so through that, I guess when shit started getting real hard and shit just starts to like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to really, I take a step back, breathe. I talk to my inner circle, my wife, family, trying to rebalance myself.
Let me ask you this though. How has it been? Have you faced any difficulties being a young black entrepreneur, but also a businessman, but knowing that, bro, since we met, you articulate your verbiage so well to people. I'm sure it would shock most people to realize this young black man that looks, I mean, can we know you dress the part anytime, but also can speak with the best of them. Kind of like you took in.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. It is, man. Cause sometimes like, especially so when I first started, I was in sales. And so when I would walk in and talk to people, they'd be like, look like to your point, right? They look at me and be like, nah, this, what do you, until we started to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was, for me, it was a hard adjustment at first because I went to middle school in an area where I was one of probably five.
Right.
And so I already experienced that, right? I already went through that shit, like, mm-hmm. done with that. But it's interesting. It's kind of funny at times, but it is shocking that, you know, we're still in that place where, you know, you have to look a certain way to talk a certain way or talk a certain way and look a certain way. And so I think for me, I think it goes to reading. It goes to putting myself around. I have a very diverse group of friends and family, you know, just trying to challenge myself, man, to, I hear a word. I got a dictionary on my phone. I go Google. I put it in a dictionary and see what it is. And then I go to the source and I try to find a word that I know that relates to that. So that way I understand it. So it's the same stuff we do in sports, man. You know, you want to learn how to do a left to right crossover. You see what AI did. You study it and you go put your own twist on it. And then you kind of make it your crossover, you know, or the Jordan spin move that we did when we were kids and we would do 3-2-1, you know, we put our own little twist on it. Again, I know it sounds cliche, but man, everything that I've learned and have done has really been from sports, mm-hmm. And from that success and that failure of sports. And, you know, it's crazy to see like my group of friends that I play sports with and different things that they're doing. It's what you said earlier, people will probably look at them and be like, they're young, black, successful kids that are doing that. And, you know, the whole thing that the lady said on TV, right? Shut up and dribble. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so much more to athletes. And that's what we talked about this a lot when I lived in SAC, man. That's what it's about. You can't be what somebody told me. Someone told me or I heard it, but you can't be what you can't see. Hmm. Right. And so if I can't see people like me in position, I don't know to be that. So I want to be that example for our younger people. Right. Like, yo, he's done that. JT is a head coach, man. Like he's done that. I can be that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Steve has a barbershop, right? I can have a shot. Like just the different things and the people that you surround yourself around. I think that's extremely important, you know, to have that kind of, you know, that kind of circle. It's going to motivate you and push you.
Yes. So, that's what's up for sure, man. So before we get out of here, I'd definitely like to give my guests and people just a segment of their own. Like I said, just anything you want to just tell to the people or to the youth today or to, you know what I mean? It's on you, man. It's your time.
First of all, I appreciate it, man. It's like I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to let me kind of tell my story and talk about what I've done. And saying it out loud, it is really a unique story, man. Sometimes when you don't share your story, you kind of think it's just, you know, it just is what it is because only you went through it, right? But when you get an opportunity to kind of talk to and hear it out loud, it kind of is unique. So, you know, and whatever I've done and whatever I continue to do, I just hope that my story can empower someone, can inspire someone, you know, can help someone kind of get over something. You know, that's all what Jake was about. Respect my journey. You know, it may not be the same as yours, but it is mine. And so as I go into different business endeavors and as I go on to Attic and as I, you know, continue to do what I do and click up with people like you, man, it's just about setting up the next generation for success and putting them in places. So if you're a young, now I'm speaking to us, like if you're a young black man, like you don't have to be that stereotype, right? There's a lot of avenues for you to take. And for me, I was fortunate enough to use a little orange basketball to get me all across the world and to meet some amazing people Did I make it to the NBA? No. Did I even go play professionally overseas? No. But I met some amazing people and have some amazing relationships just through a basketball. So if I can speak to your audience and tell them anything, man, get these kids involved in sports the right way. Help them get encouraged to play sports, because it's not just about what they do on the court. Everything that they're going to learn and what they should learn is going to help them propel for life. It's going to help them succeed in life. It's going to help them go through adversity. And it's going to help them continue what you, myself, and the people that we continue to put ourselves around are trying to build for young African Americans. So sky's the limit, man. I appreciate you, you know what I'm saying, allowing me to kind of share my story.
Yes, sir.
Coming up from here, man.
Awesome. All good, man. Like I said, I definitely appreciate you. It's been, we don't even count the day, the years no more. It's like we just keep growing and growing. Supporting each other, bro. So that's definitely been a blessing for all our peoples and our circles, man. We just keeping everybody head above water. And I appreciate you, man. And you and the fam, be safe down there. I see the boys getting big, doing big. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tap in with you, man. Appreciate you being on.
I appreciate it. All right, Jay.
You too, man.
All right.
Later.